Night Surge, the voice of the paranormal. I'm Eddie Middleton in Memphis, Tennessee. Tonight, joining me as a guest co-host is Richard Chalam, our staff astrologer. Colleen can't be on with us tonight. She'll be back next week. We are going to be talking with Laura Knight, and I think she has a pretty chilling story to tell about the research she has been doing over the last, I think, like 10 years. And she's uncovered, I think, a scenario that should get your full attention. At least it would provide some very serious food for thought. So we're going to be having Laura Knight's search on Night Search, you might say, tonight. Laura, thanks for being on with us.
Hi, Eddie. I'm glad to be here. And I don't know if it's necessarily chilling.
Well, it was chilling to me. That's all I can say.
Well, people who look at it at first glance do get that impression, but after they dig deeper into the subject, then they discover that it's possibly not so chilling after all.
Well, maybe we'll have a better conclusion to this thing late when we sign off tonight. I just, you know, was finding the whole thing rather ominous, you know, this idea of a manipulated matrix, and like the movie, you know. Why don't we start out, though, and have you just tell us a little bit about your background and then how you got into doing this kind of research that you've been into, like, for the last 10 years, and then we'll talk about the book you've written about this.
Well, actually, it's not really the last 10 years that I've been doing research. It's actually all my life.
Okay.
It's only since 1993 that I have actually been looking at the so-called alien question. And that was because I was essentially forced to look at it because I had my own experience that essentially produced a life-changing look at my belief systems, because up until that point in time, even though I had been involved in paranormal research, as some people call it, worked as a hypnotherapist, you know, off and on, mostly on for 20-some years, I had never considered the possibility of the existence of aliens or the possibility of alien abductions being actual. It was kind of at the bottom of my list of possibilities that I was forced to look at it. It changed my life, and once I looked at it, I became determined to discover exactly what it was and why it had been so concealed from me for so long, not just me, but the world at large. Most human beings are blissfully unaware.
Yeah, Laura, I was reading on your website about the exorcist information that where you performed a number of very, very heavy-duty exorcisms. Was that your introduction to the aliens?
Well, yes and no. Through the years as a hypnotherapist, most of my work dealt with standard hypnotherapy. You know, I started out in the earlier years, you know, just doing basic behavior modification type things, or stress reduction, or teaching people how to reduce their stress by self-hypnotic methods. Very basic stuff. Then as the years went by, we progressed into other kinds of therapy. You know, I did some workshops, I took some more training, got into past life therapy, discovered that this was really interesting, it really worked really well.
Yeah, I know you're familiar with Dolores Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And she got into the alien abduction research through doing regressive hypnosis. And finding, you know, the past lives, the people had this kind of alien element showing up.
Well, I never, up to that point, I never came across that, because it was really a kind of therapeutic modality that was pretty set. It was kind of a cut and dried technique. You learn this technique, you apply the technique to the symptoms of the problem. The person gets relief, and that's it. You don't get too experimental. And of course, from my perspective, when you have someone under hypnosis, you're basically like a brain surgeon. You know, you don't want to cut too much and you don't want to cut too little. You have to be extremely careful, extremely ethical. So I didn't.
That's like a good analogy. Now I've never heard that one.
Yeah, yeah. I never felt inclined to play with things that were untried or untested with people, and as a result, I went gradually, step by step, through these different types of therapeutic modalities, you know, learning them, applying them, and learning them. I went from the past life therapy to doing what's called spirit release work. But the funny thing was I actually did my first exorcism before I even knew anything about spirit release work. And I went from there to, you know, deciding that I had to learn something about this, because once I had come across an individual who was, what shall we say, possessed.
Were they showing some pretty dramatic manifestations?
Oh, indeed.
Could you share a little bit of that with us?
Well, it was actually a child. And this child had gone from being a normal, happy-go-lucky, ordinary 6-year-old who played with cars in the sandbox or, you know, did the normal 6-year-old thing, to being literally adultly demonic at periods. His mother was, needless to say, hysterical. And after taking him to a regular medical type person and deciding that she didn't want to drug her child, she eventually came to me, and we did an exorcism, and there it was. But the thing was I didn't know I was doing an exorcism. I was too stupid. And when I ask certain questions under hypnosis, another being answered, identified itself as another being.
Yeah. Did the voice change?
Oh, the voice changed. Yes, indeed. It was kind of a mild version of the movie, you know, The Exorcist.
Was it an adult sounding voice?
It was an adult sounding voice. It had depth and resonance. It wasn't the squeaky little 6-year-old voice of this kid, for sure.
Well, that would give anybody the willies. Sure enough,
it did, and that was when a really serious question had to be asked, which was, how does a child become possessed? Because this child was not in any way, shape, form, or fashion anything like the kid in the movie The Exorcist, you know, like playing with Ouija boards or, you know, dilling around in ways that they shouldn't be doing,
right,
or exposed in any way to any kind of person or activity that was any way, shape, or form demonic. He was essentially a child in a very, very Christian home. And with a very Christian environment, and it just, you know, it just, there it was. You know, how does this happen?
Because I've always heard that one has to, in some fashion, invite them in.
Nope.
But apparently there are cases where they simply attack without any invitation whatsoever.
Well, it's actually worse than that, because as I learned much more about it, I discovered that probably 70, 80, and I'm being conservative with this estimate, 70 or 80% of the population is attached by some sort of entity at any given point in time. In fact, once I had begun applying the technique of spirit release therapeutically, I have never had a subject who was not attached.
Are you familiar with the work of Edith Fiore, the Quiet Dead?
Oh, yeah. Edith Fiore was one of the models for the kind of work I was doing. Her work, Bill Baldwin, Carl Wicklund, after I got a little more confident with doing it, I developed some techniques of my own. And, you know, after so many years doing this kind of work, I became more comfortable with my command of my skill and branched out in some ways. But that was, you know, that was a period of time that led up to the introduction to the alien field.
Yeah, I know Edith Fiore thinks that most people have had these spirit attachments at some point in their lifetime. And I think, and then she also got into alien abduction research through her regressive hypnosis work also.
Right. Well, let me say right now, because it'll drive me crazy if I don't. Regressive hypnosis is a misnomer. I don't know who started the term or who began to use it first, but the proper way to describe it is hypnotic regression, because regressive hypnosis would be a backward form of hypnosis, and the actual thing that's being done is somebody is being hypnotically regressed. But somebody started this, and I'm not sure who it was. It may even have been Dr. John Mack. So people have been following it since then. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that one, but that got started somewhere along the way, and everybody's been using it, and it's technically an incorrect term.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, indeed, once I began examining the alien abduction issue, I recognized the signature of the demonic approach, which is not to say that aliens are in any sense demons, as some people would like to think. They would like to think that they are ethereal creatures that somehow suck our energy out of us and use it to manifest in some semi-solid physical state, and that they then, when they leave, they go back into these ethereal realms and they are no more. Trust me, that's not what it is. They are really physical beings. But they have a demonic signature, which means that their approach, the line of force that runs through their operation, their modus operandi, is negative.
Yeah, we're talking about one specific alien group, or just like aliens in
general?
We're
talking about any alien that abducts anybody ever at any point in time.
Okay.
Period.
So there's something negative about that anyway. It just strikes me.
Well, it never ceases to amaze me how many people will justify being abducted
right.
or being accosted or being worn down over many years of slow and steady approaches or sweet and honeyed words or different sorts of persuasive ways and means. And let me tell you, I've seen them all in people's heads when they're under hypnosis and they got a demon in them.
It's amazing how people can rationalize being continuously violated like that.
Well, when a person doesn't have sufficient will to resist, or they don't have sufficient wherewithal to combat a level of force and even, shall we say, technology that they cannot comprehend, they have no choice but to rationalize it. I mean, it's Stockholm Syndrome. That's all it is. And the aliens on the planet or around this planet or manifesting in our reality, they're playing good cop, bad cop. I mean, there are an awful lot of them that are just as sweet as pie, and they tell all these wonderful things and how special and chosen people are, and you know, we chose you to bring a message to mankind, and you've got to save the planet, and blah, 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 blah. That's just a good cop, bad cop routine.
Yeah, for the sake of our listening audience who are not familiar with the Stockholm Syndrome, could you very briefly explain what that is?
Well, Stockholm Syndrome is kind of a term that was applied to a situation that occurred in Sweden. There were some people who were abducted by terrorist-type individuals, if I remember correctly, and after a period of just a few days, they began to identify with their terrorists, because the terrorists, of course, showed acts of kindness to them. I mean, they had been abducted, and they were being held in a prison-like situation. They were being denied access to things that human beings would normally expect under regular living conditions, yet these abductors showed some kindness to their captives, care for their, are you cold, are you too hot, are you hungry, would you like this to eat, would you like that to eat, different little touches, and after just a very few days, the abducted people began to identify with their abductors, and then they began to side with them philosophically, ideologically, and
What happened to Patty Hearst.
Patty Hearst is a prime example of the Stockholm Syndrome. She became one of them in a very short period of time. I mean, it can happen in a matter of just a few days. So don't imagine that when you're dealing with time-traveling, mind-marauding aliens, that over a period of years you cannot be converted, a la Stockholm Syndrome, to their way of thinking and be completely, perfectly, and totally convinced that they are here to help you and that the things that they tell you, and they can tell you the truth. Trust me. Demons tell the truth.
Oh,
They just tell it from their point of view.
Right.
So it's quite a chilling situation we're looking at because, you know, based on statistics, millions of people are being abducted. Over periods of many years, most people do not even remember it. And believe me, if you have a missing time episode and you think you've been abducted, the only thing that makes a missing time episode is the aliens screwed up with their technology, because most people experience no missing time at all.
Oh, interesting. Now, you think that the great majority of people who have been abducted just have no missing time episode?
Right. They have no symptoms whatsoever, except they have symptoms, but they don't have symptoms in terms of saying, oh, you know, I'm missing time. Missing time is when there is a glitch in the process, and the point of time from which you see what they do is they have like time locks. They extract you from a point of time, and they reinsert you at that precise point where they extract you, so that if it's done properly, you don't experience anything at all, except perhaps some physical symptoms, or you have nightmares, or you have strange dreams, or you have post-traumatic stress symptoms, any numbers of physical, mental, emotional things can result from these abduction processes.
Yeah, I remember in reading Dolores Cunningham's book on abductions, her last book, I believe, she said, you know, these alien beings, they have this control over time itself.
Time lords.
Yeah, and, you know, this is the first time I've ever heard anybody present this theory about missing time. It's just an alien glitch.
Oh, that's true. I can assure you of that. And this is not just something that has come out of somebody's head, that because I've had them under hypnosis. Because realistically speaking, when something comes out of somebody's head under hypnosis, it just is out of their head. It's subjective. Until you can verify it in some other way, at least theoretically, how does it work? It's just a subjective impression. It's somebody's opinion, or it's their personal experience, or, you know, truth to tell, it can be confabulated. They can be making stuff up, or they can be getting the wrong impressions or misunderstanding things. That's why people have psychological problems to begin with. They misread the experience. Their emotions kick in a certain way because they have misread the experience, and then they react to something that, you know, isn't at all the way they think it is.
What percentage would you hazard a guess of people, the number of people in this country have been abducted?
In this country? Oh, that's a tough one, because I'd say 2%.
No, 2%?
2% of 275 million. How many is that?
Richard, you're on the line. You're the whiz with numbers, and why don't you figure that out for us real quick?
It's a scary number.
Yeah, it's quite large, he says. Okay. Yeah, you can come online there.
Yes, it's quite large.
And I think it's probably pretty accurate because, as you know, Jacques Vallée pointed out, just the abduction cases we know about, because people have reported them, and the sightings that we know about because people have reported them, doesn't tell us anything about the many cases that are unreported because of, A, the person doesn't realize something has happened because they don't have missing time, they don't have any, you know, overt alien abduction symptoms, or B, they're afraid of reporting it because they think they've lost their minds.
You know, John Mack made the statement that we are all abductees at some level. How would you construe his meaning on that?
Well, I think that perhaps he has a point. because in terms of the matrix reality in which we live, we've been abducted from birth. But let me put it into better terms. I don't mean the matrix reality in the sense that people have been abducted, but I mean we have been abducted by our society, by our reality, by our programming. And it's social, cultural, it's, you know, it covers a broad range of experiences that we have as we grow up that serve to conceal from us the true nature of our reality.
And we're going to get more into that later in the show, this whole concept of the manipulated matrix. Before we go to break, which is pretty shortly here, this idea that people have been abducted who have no inkling at all because of, for one thing, no missing time. What about, like, someone, you know, like myself, I've had no real obvious signs, no weird, marks on my body when I wake up in the morning or nosebleeds or, certainly no missing time that I can remember, any episode of that. Would there be some really subtle signs that would indicate you've actually been physically abducted?
Physically abducted. Physical abductions occur rarely,
So you think most abductions are like what they call OBE abductions?
Right, they're soul extractions. In fact, there's a considerable amount of evidence that demonstrates this to be so. I mean, there have been people who have been in the midst. Carla Turner wrote about this, an individual who was in the middle of an abduction experience, and there were people, because there were certain effects that were going on in the building where they were sleeping, they went rushing to the room, and they saw this person sitting in the bed surrounded in a glow of blue light, and that this individual was frozen. There was kind of like a force field, and the two individuals who were observing this were unable to go to her aid. They themselves became almost paralyzed by the effects of this blue light that surrounded the person.
Mm-hmm.
And after it was all over with and the blue light faded and the person dropped back down on the bed, and they weren't, I mean, they were like partially sitting up, an entire abduction experience was described that was so, so completely bizarre, and clearly something had happened. And then I later had a case myself where the blue bubble of light was involved. So we came to some idea after researching a little bit further that this blue bubble of light indicates that the what you'd call a realm or dimensional curtain is being breached.
Mm.
And when that happens, these soul extractions can occur. And then what happens is that after the soul is extracted, or the frequency body, in this alien reality, which I remind you is a physical reality in a very real sense, a new body is molecularized around this pattern, and all of the operations of the abduction scenario then take place on the molecularized body, which is then demolecularized technologically, and the soul is sent back. The frequency of the soul has been changed, and the frequency of the changed soul then changes the frequency of the physical body, its home.
Right.
And therefore, the things that were done to the remolecularized body in the other realm manifest in the physical body.
Now, that's very interesting. I never heard that before either, that theory that when they abduct people, like you could describe a soul extraction or an astral abduction, that they create a physical body for you in this other realm.
Sure.
And work on you through that, and then demolecularize, and send you back to your
home body. This is something that I have gotten from people under hypnosis by asking the right questions under the right circumstances. One of the difficulties is, though, that when they are in this demolecularized state, or when they're in this point of transition between, being remolecularized and demolecularized, usually there's some kind of a memory block. Some of them perceive it as a wall of fire.
Interesting. Well, Laura, at this point, I think we need to go to our break here, so let's just hold that thought, with the wall of fire, and we'll be back here shortly to continue our interview with Laura Knight on Night Search. Stay tuned.